This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
Father, there's no higher name than your name. And thank you for that privilege that we've got, that we can praise that name forever and ever. That we can be here in the church and that we can do it today, but at our own place that we can do it tomorrow and carry on with it, but that we're going to do it at a certain time with all the believers in heaven, that we're going to worship your name, that we're going to shout it out how important you are in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, that today that we can listen to you again and hear what is on your heart, what you want to share with us today. And we maybe came in a rush. We maybe came in even a little bit late. But it doesn't matter. We can become quiet now. We can cut off the thoughts which are trying to distract us in the name of Jesus. We can bind them. That we can focus on you. The enemy is not going to take off our time, off our thoughts, but we want to focus on you and receive from you, Father. Thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start this week of where I more or less left last week. And last week I was preaching about shine my light. And then at a certain time I also quoted a verse. And yeah, that God is telling us that we've got to shine his light. And I trust that that you could be a light this week at the place where you're working, at the place where you're staying. That you could shine the light, God's light, the ultimate source of light, that you could show it in the world around you. But I feel, before I'm going to start with the sermon, that the Lord has been speaking with two people as we were worshiping, and that God said something to you, which you've got to share over here now, which is important for the congregation. It could be something what the Lord gave you a picture, maybe he gave you a word, maybe give you a vision. But the Lord has been speaking with two people, and I'm inviting you now that you can come and share it so that it is for us, for edification of us in what the church is concerned.
Yeah, in Galatians 6, verse 2, says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, I felt like there are some of us who are suffering in silence because we do not have a person we are accountable to. So, the word has said, like, let us carry each other's burden. If you are, you should have like a prayer partner or someone you are accountable to who you can share with the secrets of your heart. There are some things you won't be able to share, maybe with the pastor or another person, but there's a person you trust which you can share with. And that's how we will fulfill the law of Christ. So, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Urbanus. Anyone else who the Lord has been speaking to? Jade.
So the Lord said something very basic to me during song today, but that was just like he gave us the blessing of listening and to be able to hear. So during the congregation today, just listen to what God has to tell you and open your ears to him.
Amen. Thank you. One of the verses which I used last week is John 8, verse 12. And then Jesus spoke to them again, that is to the disciples, and say, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And where we spoke about that God is the ultimate source of light, and that Jesus is saying over here, I'm the light. He's bringing that light to us. And at a certain time in Matthew as well, that he said, you are the light, you are the salt, and that we've got to carry that light in the world. And as I was preparing for the sermon, the Lord said to me, I've got to preach about the words which are in the same sentence, following me, and where it is, where Jesus is speaking a few times in the Bible where he says, follow me. I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to leave that question with you during the sermon, and you can answer it yourself. And at the final end, we're going to come back to it again. And the question is follow me, is that an invitation of Jesus, or is that an instruction and command of Jesus? The follow me, is it an instruction, a command, or is it an invitation from Jesus? Think about that one. We're going to talk about that question again at the end of the sermon. Now, I'm going to invite you now to walk with me through scriptures where Jesus has been speaking and where he spoke to different people and where he said, follow me. And what Jesus was doing, he was speaking to the people in a position of a rabbi. Now, I'm just going to touch a little bit on that because that will help us to understand what Jesus was doing and why he was doing it. At that time when Jesus grew up in Galilee, there was a strong correlation between the church, the synagogue, and the education system. So it was linked to each other, which would be, for us, it would be ideal. If the church was linked to the school, and that everything what was going to be shared at school has got a spiritual root, that would be awesome. We haven't got it over here, but in Jesus' time it was. And I'm going to quickly touch a little bit, a few years of what a boy would experience in Jesus' time. At the age of 5, the education system would actually start, and a child would be fit to read the Torah, which is then the Jewish Bible. He would be fit also then to write it, but most important, to memorize it. So at the age of 5, they already started getting exposure to the Jewish Bible, reading, writing, and memorizing it. At the age of, I'm just jumping a few ages because it's they've got a few other age groups in between, but I'm jumping to the age of 13, where they've got the fulfilling of the commandment. But at the age of 13, something else is happening. At the age of 13, your future of where you are going is more or less decided. If you were a girl, you most probably were going to help your mom at home. But if you were a boy, then the best job what you could get is to follow a rabbi. That was the best job, that was the most elite job what you could get in a Jewish congregation. So we've got to keep that in mind when we hear how Jesus is speaking then to his disciples, where he says, follow me. The boys who didn't make it, that they could follow a rabbi, they would get an intern or practical training, what their dad was doing. So they would follow their dad, and they would get educated by their dad. At 15 years, at the Talmud, they could actually start reasoning about what is in the Bible. Because keep in mind, then they're already busy with the Torah for 10 years. So they knew more or less already what was standing in it, and they could start reasoning of what was in it. And then at 30, they would have the authority that they could teach others. So again, you had to be an exceptional student if you were going to follow a rabbi. And a rabbi is a rabbi and the disciple, or in that time they call it the Talmid, is a different relation as what we've got with the teacher and with the student. Because a teacher and a student, the student is only going to learn that he knows enough to complete the questionnaire or to complete the questions that he can go and carry on. He's not going to learn more than that. And he's also not interested in more than that from the teacher. But with a rabbi and a talmid, it's different. The talmid or the disciple is copying the rabbi. He wants to be exactly like the rabbi. He wants to be a duplicate of the rabbi. And that's a difference what we've got. So it's not that a student is a disciple. No, a disciple or a talmid is something different. You copy, and you want to be exactly the same like that. And then you had two types of rabbis. You had the rabbi who could actually duplicate what other rabbis have been interpreting of the Torah. So you're just actually duplicating. But then you had only a few rabbis who had the capacity that they could get new revelations. They would have new ways of thinking. And then the people would go to those type of people and listen to them. And now we can see what happened in Jesus' time. They followed him because he was one of those. He was the one who had those type of new revelations. He was bringing new things, and that's where the people were going to. They were amazed about that. So if you were a student and you wanted to follow that rabbi, then you had to apply. You had to go to him. You've got to give your CV and say, okay, I would like to follow you. And then a rabbi would consider the applications, but he will look at a few things and say, okay, is this guy good enough? Does he have the capacity to follow me? Is he going to be consistent enough? Is he going to be in time in the morning? But most of the time it was really like following, then you were next to him. You were leaving your family, you were with the rabbi, and you were continuously with the rabbi. And then most of those students who applied at the rabbi, they were turned away because there wasn't enough place. There was only a few people who could follow the rabbi. And then the rabbi would say to the talmid, follow me. He would say, okay, fine, you get the job, follow me, go behind me and follow me. So this is what was used in the time of Jesus. So if we listen then what Jesus is saying to the disciples, follow me, then we can understand it, where it is coming from. And then they wanted to be exactly the same as what the rabbi is, like Peter. Jesus walked on the water. Peter also wanted to walk on the water. He walked on the water, but only for a few steps. And then he started doubting. And then he wasn't equal to Jesus anymore. Then he fell through. And that's what Jesus has been using, that rabbi talmid system. When he was getting his disciples, he used it to train his disciples, because they were continuously following him. They were behind him. I've got to be careful. Just now I'm breaking the furniture over here. And at the final end, what is also happening, what the rabbi is doing, once the student is finished, of the student, your talmid is finished, your disciple is finished, then you send him. And we see exactly the same pattern with Jesus. He was copying what was known in that world at that time. Calling, demonstrating how you go through life, because Jesus was the perfect leader, the perfect example for the talmids. And at the final end, once they're ready, they were sent out that they could be an example again for the next disciples. So if Jesus comes and he goes to the fishermen and he says, follow me, it doesn't make sense, because those fishermen never applied to the rabbi to follow him. But Jesus used the same word as what a rabbi would use and said, follow me. The first one, Matthew 4 verses 19. Then he, Jesus, said to them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. This word follow me has got two parts in it. It is not exactly the same word as what we've got with the other follow me's, but this one is built from two different components. The one is come, follow, meaning come close to me, follow me, and then the other is go behind me. So it's follow me as I go through life, you are going and follow me, you are going to copy me. This is what Jesus is saying over here. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. These fishermen now are getting the highest job that you can get. So if you were a fisherman, I think you will quite easily down your tools and say, yes, I'm going along with you. Because a rabbi is calling you and say, follow me. If they knew at that time of Jesus, if they've heard of Jesus, it's difficult to say, but that's not really where I'm going to talk about this afternoon, but it is that they followed. They followed Jesus. They left the tools. They were working with their hands the whole day. And they changed now, because they were not working with their hands anymore. I nearly would say it went from physical, it went to spiritual. And that's how they started, and then they followed Jesus, the Rabbi Jesus. The next one, Matthew 8, 19 to 22. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And then Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds have air nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Follow me. The word which has been used over here, and it's the same word which has been used in the other scriptures, what I'm quoting just now, is that you're going to be in the same way with, you're going to be in the same, you're going to be exactly the same as somebody else. You're going to accompany, and that's specifically referring to a disciple, and you're going to follow, you're going to reach as what the rabbi is going and where the rabbi is going. Jesus had followers. He had people who were walking continuously behind him and who wanted to follow him and were in the area where he went, and they had a look at the miracles, what he was doing, and so on and so on. And some of them wanted to follow him as well. And I'm referring now to the last part where Jesus is saying, where the one person is saying, let me first go and bury my father. The problem of what this guy had, he had a certain condition. He was going to follow Jesus, but he first wanted to do something else. He was actually waiting for his dad to pass away, that that part could be finalized, and then he would have time and follow Jesus. But this is not what Jesus is looking for. He's looking for a person who says yes, and he was following him. The next one is Matthew 9, verses 9. And Jesus passed on from there, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting in the tax office. Tax office. Have you ever been in a tax office? Okay. All of them are just getting a little bit of a smile on the face, but they're not that happy with tax people, and I'm one of them. And he said to him, that's Matthew now, in other Gospels, we get the word Levi, but it's exactly the same person, Matthew. And he said to him, follow me. Exactly the same as a rabbi again. He speaks to him. He says, follow me. And this guy had to take a decision now, because he was having a good income. The way that the Romans were working is they were generating taxes, but they had what they call agents. They had local agents. You can nearly say it was on the top of a franchise basis. So you could say, okay, I want to be a tax collector for Utrecht. And then the Romans would say, okay, you get Utrecht. There's so many people staying in Utrecht. Good afternoon. Come and join us. There's so many people in Utrecht. And then the Romans would say, okay, you've got to collect that amount of money. And then you would say, okay, I'm going to do that. I'll collect that amount of money, and then I'll pay it over to you. But there was one condition. Whatever you got more in is what you had to pay to the Romans. you could keep for yourself. Now that's a very open tax system, because you can imagine what the tax collectors were doing. They were just increasing whatever they could increase and just gathering taxes wherever they could get taxes, and they were enriching themselves. So there was a greed which we could see in the tax collectors. And there were three taxes what they were levying. The first one was your land, second was the head, how many people, and then the third one was customs. So as people were moving goods from one place to the other place, you were passing this tax box where Matthew or Levi is sitting inside, and then you had to pay taxes to him. So this guy was sitting there, and he most probably took a good route. He most probably took Utrechtse Weg, or I don't know what route he took, but he was sitting over there, and as the people were coming in and as the people were going out, he was taxing over there. And it was a very clever system what the Romans had. Why they don't do it nowadays, I don't know. But if you take a local guy, he knows all the people around him, and he also knows who's got money, and he also knows where they've got the money. So the Romans at that time had a very clever system, I must actually admit. Maybe better system is what we've got at the moment in this country over here. Now this guy has got to make now a decision. What is he going to do? The people didn't like them. The people didn't like the tax collectors. At a certain time, Jesus is referring even, it's not on the screen, in Matthew 18, verses 17, he says that if a person is not prepared to listen to the church, he says, if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as what you would treat a pagan or a tax collector. So a pagan and a tax collector were in the same level, what Jesus is referring to. So those people were not, no, you better not be friends with them, and you don't invite them to your place and so on. But money they had more than enough money. And this guy has got to take now the decision, what is he going to do? Because Jesus says to him, follow me. He's got to go out of the textbooks, books, he's got to leave everything what he's got, all the money what he got together, he's got to leave it behind now, and he's got to follow Jesus. So he's got to leave that greed what he had, and he has got to follow Jesus to get the everlasting treasure what Jesus wanted to give to him. The next one is Matthew 16, 24. And Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Following Jesus is cheap, because you just have got to accept him. But it's also expensive, because your whole list of priorities is changing. God is becoming number one. Not your wife. Not your car. Not your work. Not the city where you're in staying. Not your soccer or football club. No. God is number one. And everything what you do, you first think, am I honoring God or am I not honoring God? And this is what Jesus is saying over here. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Your wishes, you move it one side. And you say, God, what is your will? You've got to deny yourself. And secondly, and take up the cross and follow me. We know that sin is nice, because otherwise we wouldn't have had sin in this world. Agree? Yes. And those type of things, what people are doing, what we would classify as sin, we are not going to carry on with that. We're going to stop with that. So there are maybe certain things which you've got to hand in, what you say, I can't do it anymore. But if we're going to follow God, and if we're going to do what God is telling us to do, then we're also getting at certain situations that things which we have, we've got to hand in. If Renee and the two of us are having a look at us, at ourselves, then we say, okay, we left our children, and once we left, grandchildren were added to it, we left them over there. It's not nice for us. It's hurting us, because we would like to be with our children and with our grandchildren nowadays. But that's something which is costing, because we're following Jesus Christ now. We're following God. So yes, following God, it is cheap, but there's also a price to it. Matthew 19:21. And Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me." Jesus is talking now to the rich man. And to the rich man he also says, "Follow me." Exactly the same as what he's been saying to the other people, what we've heard just now. And the rich man has got to decide now. This, what was his security, that money what he had, he saw now, that's actually the wall between him and God. He had to take that away. His list of priorities had to change. If you want to be perfect, go and sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. And then I'm jumping to John 21:19. And Jesus is speaking over here to Peter. Then he, Jesus, spoke, signifying by what death he, and that is then Peter, would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow him, follow me." First verse what we read this afternoon, Jesus already said to Peter, "Follow me." That is the verse when he spoke to Peter and Andrew. He said, "Follow me." And he's repeating it over here again. But what happened in the meantime? Peter denied Jesus 3 times. He said, "No, that guy, I don't know. I've never seen him. No, I don't know. I don't know who he is." 3 times. 3 times Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" 3 times Peter said, "You know it, Jesus. I love you." And then Jesus repeats it again, "Follow me." It's nearly as Jesus is confirming again, "As I called you in the beginning, I'm calling you again. Whatever happened in between, it's done. It's been sorted out. It doesn't count anymore. It's finished now. We are starting with a new chapter now. Follow me." And then the next verse, verse 20 to 22. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is it who betrays?" And that is where John is referring to himself. And then Peter saying him said to Jesus, and Peter seeing John said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man? What about John?" And Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Jesus, Peter heard what type of death he was going to die. Jesus shared it with him. And then Peter is asking, "What's going to happen with John?" He was comparing himself. He was asking, "What's going to happen with John?" And Jesus said, "That's not your business. It hasn't got anything to do with you. You, Peter, you follow me." And that I think is also applicable for us in our time. That we should not compare ourselves with other people around us, but that we should communicate with God and hear what God is saying to us, not through another person, but what God is sharing directly with us. All those people that Jesus has been calling, they all qualified because they were all sinners and they all needed grace. It wasn't that they had to be very clever, as what we saw with the rabbi and the Talmid, that he only appointed clever people. The only condition what Jesus had is, you must know that you are a sinner and that you need grace, and then you can follow Jesus. As I went through those different callings what Jesus did, I trust there were some of them what you said, but wait a moment, that's actually applicable for me. That is what happened in my life, or what is happening at the moment in my life. Like the fishermen, there was a dramatic change. They had to leave their daily employment and they had to become a follower. A total different change. And it's a type of an example. If something like that is happening to you, that God is calling you, don't feel alone. The fishermen were before you. They left what they were doing and they followed Jesus. The other follower said, first wait, because this and this at first has got to happen, and then I will follow you. And maybe there's one of you who says, that's exactly how I speak to God. God, you can do whatever you want to do with me. You can give me any instruction you want me to give. But first I want to get my degree. I want to do my master's. I want to get married. I want to have 5 children and a red Mercedes. And then you can call me. Then I will be available. Jesus is not working like that. If he calls you, then he calls you. Then you follow him. Being called like the Matthew, the tax collector, that guy had to step out of his comfort zone. He had to step out of his tax box and he had to follow Jesus. And that's maybe also in your situation that you say, I've got nice comfort around me. I've got a tax box which is providing money to me and I'm very happy. And if I've got to follow Jesus, it's not going to be so nice. Here we've got an example of a guy who reacted when Jesus said, follow me. As the rabbi is speaking to a Talmid, he stood up, left his books over there, and followed him. I don't know what the other disciples thought when Matthew was joining them as the disciple, because I don't think that he was that popular with the other disciples, because he was a tax collector. They also most probably paid to him in the period when Matthew was a tax collector. But if he was going to be a disciple of Jesus, then it was also acceptable to them, and they went along. Deny our own will and take up a cross. If Jesus is calling us, then our list of priorities is changing. Dramatically changing. It's not about us anymore and my will, but it's about God's will. What does he want us that we should do? And yes, it is going to cost us something. And then a rich young man, he had that money which he thought that was his security. But that security was actually the barrier, the wall between him and God. Maybe you've got a house. Maybe you've got a degree behind your name. Maybe you've got a very wealthy father, I don't know, that you say, that's my security for life. There's only one security. It's Jesus. That is Jesus, because he will give you eternal life. And like I said just now, what Peter has done wrong, it has been forgiven. Jesus said, it doesn't matter. It's finished. I'm confirming the love relationship what we've got, and I'm calling you, and I'm repeating that calling again, what I've given. Follow me, Peter, follow me. And then the last one, Peter asking about the future of John. Other people's affairs are nothing to us. We do not have to worry about it. We do not have to concern about it. The way that God is calling, of Jesus is calling his people is different. We've seen it. And the way that God is calling us is also different. And we shouldn't go to God and say, okay, please call me the same way as what you call Billy Graham, the same way as Reinhard Bonnke, the same way as whoever it is. No, it's different. And also not like René or like Simeon. No. You're unique, you're special, and God has got a unique way of calling you. Do not compare with the others. And Jesus is the only one who's got the right to call you. He's the only one who can say to you, follow me, Nobody else can do that. They can say it, but they haven't got the authority as what Jesus has got. And we are in exactly the same positions as what the disciples were, as what the Talmud were at that time. Jesus was calling them whenever and when he needed them. And Jesus is calling us as well, whenever and how he's needing us. And we've got to react on it, and we've got to reply on that. And what I'm trying to say this afternoon is, you are very special. You are the elite. You are the cream of the top. Because God is asking you to follow him. It's not your education, it's not your background, it's not your family name, it's not the country where you're coming from. But you've got a relationship with God. And that's why you're so special. That God can call you, that Jesus can call you and say, follow me. And if we take then that what Jesus has been doing with the disciples, that he called them, they followed him for 3 years, and then he sent them. That principle still counts today. Jesus is calling us. We're following Jesus. We have been sent to go and tell the other people. But we are all going to tell it to other people as well. We're not going to keep it for ourselves. I'm coming back again to that question in the beginning. Is following me, if it is an invitation or if it is an instruction or a command? And you most probably have been thinking about it. You most probably have got an answer. Not quite sure. The answer is, it's an invitation and it is an instruction or a command. It's both of them. It's both of them. When Jesus is calling us, he says, follow me, go behind me. But as you're going to duplicate and as you're going to imitate me, it's a command, follow me. Do exactly what I've been doing. So Jesus' invitation is a two-word command, follow me. I want to repeat that again. Jesus' invitation is a two-word command, follow me. Jesus is inviting us to follow him as the disciples were following him. But Jesus is also commanding us to make disciples, that we should be disciple makers as well. And Jesus is inviting us to follow him, irrespective of our situation. And Jesus is telling us we must do exactly the same as what he's been doing. We've got to follow Jesus. Yesterday at the encounter one, we were talking at a certain time of standing strong. And what does it actually mean, standing strong? It means that we would pray. We would be in communication with God. We would send our messages, not our wish list, but we will send our messages to God and he will reply back to us. We also have got to be quiet and listen what God is saying to us, that we can hear his voice. We've got to read the Bible. The word of God, we've got to read it, because this is a word which God has given to us, what we've got to read. We also have got to share it with other people, of what Jesus has done in our lives. We've got to testify it. And that's why today I put these cards on your chairs again. Please take home. The time when the sermon starts is also at the back, the new time, and give it to somebody. Have one in your purse. If somebody says, but where are you going to church? What are you doing? Or you meet somebody who's English speaking and you want to refer him to a church, then you can give such a card. It could even be that you pass a car and that Jesus is saying to you, but you've got to put that card under the windscreen over there. I don't know. Just be open for it. Take a card along. So we've got to pray, we've got to read the Bible, we've got to spread the news, we've got to tell other people, and we've got to be in a community. We've got to be with people similar around us, that we can talk about it, that we can hear exactly the same, that we can be reminded again, and that those four are helping us. to follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. What must I do? If you're a disciple of Jesus, you're going to copy Jesus. You're going to do exactly the same as what Jesus has been doing. You're going to tell the people, repent. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. That is what you're going to do. That's what you're going to tell the people. You're also going to heal the sick. Yes, you can. If Jesus called you, if Jesus told us that we've got to follow him, and he's a rabbi, and we've got to duplicate him, we've got to be like him, then we can heal people. We can do that. We can put our hand on other persons, and we can pray, and we can pray for healing. And if the first time nothing is happening, don't worry, pray again. If you're not going to pray, nothing is going to happen anyway, but pray again and pray again. Jesus is giving that to us. He's telling us we've got to duplicate him. We've got to send out demons. I don't know how many of you have done it on a regular basis or doing it on a regular basis, but we've got to now and then clean not only our own house, but maybe we've got to help some other people as well, that their houses are a little bit cleaned. We're not cleaning, but we're giving instructions through the authority which we've got in the name of Jesus Christ. And lastly, we've got to raise the dead. Anyone who prayed for a dead person already who raised? Not yet. Okay. We've got one who's got hope that it is going to happen. We can do it. If Jesus could do it, then we can do it. That if you know if somebody passed and the person didn't have a relationship with God, we can pray for that person. That a person is going to come back to life, that a person still can make the decision to accept Jesus Christ. We've got that power. We can do that. There may be going to be quite a few dead people before you get the first one who's going to be raised again. But again, if we're not praying, then nothing is going to happen. But we've got to pray. We can do that. Jesus is saying, follow me. Imitate me. Be like me. Be exactly the same as what I am. And then we can do those things. And then you can say, no, that was only for certain people. If I read the Bible, I feel it is for us applicable today. Exactly the same as what it was for the disciples. It's also applicable for us. Jesus wants to work through us. And that we can raise disciples again.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.